When I was a little kid, Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson came out with a song. It was a cover of a song that had come out years earlier. Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. How many of you guys remember that song? All right, I know there's very, the older I get, the less people remember the songs that I remembered as a kid. But that song came out, and it basically goes like this. It says, Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. That was the kind of the tagline of the song. And I loved that song, mostly because I wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. And it was a catchy tune, and it was easy to remember, and it spoke to all the things that I wanted to be. Like when they sang all these things that were supposedly bad about being a cowboy, I didn't think anything, well, there's a couple things I didn't understand, we won't talk about that, but I didn't think any of that stuff was bad. I thought it all sounded pretty good. And the way they sung it like all this stuff was bad, or the words they were saying was saying all this stuff was bad, but the way they sung it made it sound really, really good. And so for a number of years, that is what I just wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. I didn't think that Waylon and Willie's career advice was the best because I didn't want to be a doctor or a lawyer. I wanted to be a cowboy. And that lasted for a while. It lasted for a few years, and then as I got older, I kind of put those childish things away and moved on to stuff that was more serious. I think probably all of us had that in our lives. At some point when we were kids, we wanted to be something, and we change our mind as we get older. Just a show of hands, how many of you guys, if you're a kid, how many of you know what you want to be when you grow up? Raise your hand. I know what I want to be when I grow up. Okay. Now, if you're an adult, do you know what you want to be when you grow up too? That's a whole different important question to answer. But we want to be things when we grow up. Some want to be cowboys or NFL players or NBA players or princesses or a number of different things. At some point in our childhood, the life we wanted to live shaped us. It shaped what we daydreamed about, what we thought about. And we think that we leave those things behind as we grow into adulthood. But we don't. Not really. We just kind of phrase the question differently. What kind of life do you want to live? What are the things you daydream about? What are you seeking? If you could have the life that you really wanted, what would it look like? Maybe it would involve more money, maybe less stress, maybe better health, maybe more experiences, more recognition, a better job, a better house, more freedom. We all have things that we think will make our lives better. There's something fascinating about us as human beings. We can spend our entire lives chasing after all these things in our life that are much smaller than what God actually offers us. There was an old bank commercial from around 2007 or 2008 that illustrates this, I think, really well. There's two little girls, they're sitting at a table, and this guy dressed in a suit comes out, and he sits down with the little girls at the table, and he says to one little girl, he says, "Do you want a pony?" And she says, "Yes, I want a pony." And he pulls this little toy pony and he hands it to her, and she's like really excited. And he looks at the other girl and he says, "Do you want a pony?" And she goes, "Yes, I want a pony." And he goes, and he makes this little come here sound with his mouth, and this pony walks out from behind the partition. And the first girl who got the toy pony looks at him and she goes, "You didn't say I could have a real pony." And he says, "Well, you didn't ask." And then she gives him that look like, And it's all about, you know, trying to say banks, you know, you shouldn't have to ask for what you want. But we spend our life thinking that the toy pony is all there is. We spend our lives chasing after toy ponies, not because the real thing is hidden, but because we don't think about more. We chase money, we chase pleasure, we chase experiences, we chase success, approval, comfort, power, security. And many of those things aren't necessarily bad things. But we begin to chase those things at the expense of anything else. They take over our lives and become what we want more than anything else. And it twists and it shapes us. If it's money, we can never be satisfied unless we're making more. If it's pleasure, if it's comfort, then we're never happy or satisfied unless we're making more. And there's always more to be had. We convince ourselves if we could just get that thing, then we would finally and fully be satisfied. But when we get those things, we're never secure in them. Any little thing can shake us. But God comes along and he says, there is something infinitely greater available to you. God has not simply offered to make our lives better. Look at verse 14. He has called you that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a real thing. And Paul's message to the Thessalonians is essentially this: don't trade what God has given to you for the lies and the lesser things that the world offers you. Stand firm, hold fast. God has called you to something greater. Our passage this morning is actually the second half of a contrast that Paul has been making. If you go back a few verses before what we read, what Evan read this morning, Paul's been talking about deception. There's a great deal of end times stuff here in this chapter. We're not going to get into it today, but there's something here that's very relevant to every one of us. Paul's talked about it. Satan, the enemy, is at work in the world through deception. Paul says there will be all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. And then he gives them the reason they perish. They perish because they refused, these people refused to love the truth and so be saved. And then he says that they have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Delighted in wickedness. They didn't merely accidentally believe a lie. They wanted something other than God. They wanted the lie. They wanted the wickedness. And there are things that Satan uses to convince the people that the lie is true. And Paul warns the Thessalonians that this is how Satan works. It's still true to this day. Very few things that we pursue in today's world is considered inherently bad. In fact, some things that were considered inherently bad years ago are perfectly fine and legal to do today. A side note, just because it's good legally doesn't mean it's good morally. In fact, if you chase after many things today, the odds are you will get enough of that thing to be convinced that you are on the right track. And then we can begin to buy into that lie, the lie that it is enough and that it is the thing that we're searching for. And what is terrifying is that God lets us. He, as Paul says earlier, he gives people over to the deception that our hearts already pursue. Now, moving into our text from this week, the contrast on the positive side of things. Verse 13, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord because God chose you. Do you see the contrast? On one side are people who refuse the truth and delight in wickedness. And on the other side are people whom Paul calls loved by the Lord. And then he says, God chose you. Paul doesn't begin with what they did. He begins with what God did. God loved them. God chose them. God was saving them. God was sanctifying them. God called them through the gospel. This is important because sometimes we can think that the Christian life is primarily about us choosing God. And certainly the Bible calls us to believe, calls us to repent. It calls us to follow Christ. But underneath all of that is something even deeper. The grace of God came looking for us. Paul says that God chose them to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. There are two things happening here. God is saving them and God is sanctifying them. Sanctification is simply God's work of making us increasingly holy, making us increasingly like Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't merely give us interesting spiritual experiences. The Spirit changes us. He changes what we love, changes what we desire, changes what we pursue, changes how we think, changes how we speak, and how we live. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. Paul says that this happens through belief in the truth. That matters because we live in a world that constantly tells us different things. Create your own truth. Follow your own heart. Be true to yourself. Decide what is right for you. But Paul says there is truth. And it isn't something we create. It's something we receive. In verse 14, he called you to this through our gospel. God called you through the gospel, through the announcement that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. Through the announcement that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And notice where this calling is taking us. That you might share in the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what God is offering you. Not merely a better life, not merely relief from your problems, not merely a ticket to heaven. Christ, his glory, life with him, being made like him. How do we get there? Belief in the truth of the gospel and through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved by Jesus, God gives us his Spirit to work in our lives, and he calls us to work with his Spirit to see his work bear fruit. Early in my life, I was convinced by something that made a huge impact on me. I was already saved, and I would go to church every once in a while. Maybe once a month. I'd grown up in a church where I'd gone as a kid all the time. I'd been made to go. My parents, even when they didn't go, would make me go with my grandmother. And so when I got old enough to make my own decisions, I rejected that. I decided that maybe every once in a while going to church was good enough. Maybe once a month or so. After all, Sunday was the only real day that I could catch up on sleep, have a nice relaxing morning, and do other things that I wanted to do. Plus, if I went places when people were in church, they were not crowded at all, and I loved it. And the Holy Spirit began to convince me that I was pursuing those other things, even though they weren't really bad things, that I was pursuing those other things at the expense of my pursuit of Jesus. My priorities were all messed up. So I decided to go to church on Sunday mornings, not as some kind of like, I'm going to do this or I'm not saved, or as some kind of like magical ritual. I just decided that I was going to invest in my relationship with Jesus by going to be with his people on Sunday mornings. And it was hard some weeks because I worked third shift, but I did it. I began to put God first on Sundays, and he began to show me what that looked like in the rest of my life. What are you seeking? What are you building your life around? What do you think will finally satisfy you? Because we can spend our lives chasing toy ponies when God is offering us something infinitely greater. Now look at verse 15. Paul says, so then, Those two words are important. So then, because God has done all of this, because God has loved you, because God has chosen you, because God has called you, because the Spirit is sanctifying you, because God has called you through the gospel, because you are headed toward the glory of Christ, so then, stand firm. That's the command. Stand firm. Hold fast. Now, Paul knows these believers in Thessalonica are under pressure. They're surrounded by deception. They're experiencing persecution. There are false ideas coming at them constantly. Paul's answer isn't come up with something new. His answer is hold on to what you've already received. He says, hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Christianity isn't something that we invent. Christian faith is something that has been handed down to us. The apostles taught the church. The scriptures preserve that teaching, and we are called to hold fast to that. It means there are times when the most faithful thing you can do isn't to move forward into something new. Sometimes the most faithful thing you can do is just stand still and hold on. When everyone around you seems to believe something different, stand firm. When you're tempted to compromise what you've learned from Scripture, stand firm. When following Jesus becomes costly, stand firm. When suffering makes you question God's goodness, stand firm. When your feelings tell you one thing, but God's word tells you another, hold fast. Don't let go. Don't chase. Don't be swept away. Don't let the world define truth to you. Hold fast to the gospel. What are you seeking? Because what you seek will shape you. If you spend your life seeking money, money will shape you. You will move to gain it. If you spend your life seeking pleasure, pleasure will shape you. You will move to gain it. If you spend your life seeking approval, approval will shake you. You will move to gain it. You will not stand fast. If you spend your life seeking power, power will shape you. You will move to gain it. But if you seek Christ, if you seek His kingdom, if you seek His glory, then the Spirit begins to work and move in you. The fancy word is sanctify, but He begins to change you and work and do things in you that is hard to describe. And over time, you become the kind of person who wants what God wants. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses the worries of the world. We worry about all kinds of things, and there are things we need: food, clothing, money, shelter. But Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Those things, other things will come. Psalmist says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. That doesn't mean that Christians never experience suffering. The Thessalonians surely did. Doesn't mean you will never walk through the valley, the shadow of death. Psalms 23 says that you will. It means that when the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you ultimately need. You don't have to spend your life frantically chasing after something else to give your life meaning. You have Christ, and Christ is enough. There's one last thing we need to see. Paul has told them to stand firm. He has told them to hold fast. And now listen to how he ends. He doesn't say, now go do it. He prays. Verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. And then verse 17,
encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. You see what Paul's doing? He tells them to stand firm, but he knows they cannot do it in their own strength. And he tells them to hold fast, but he knows they need God to help them. So he prays, may God encourage your hearts. May God strengthen you. This is the Christian life. God calls you. God saves you. God sanctifies you. God gives you the truth. And then God strengthens you to stand firm in that truth. The Christian life isn't try harder. It's depend more deeply on the God who has called you. And notice what Paul asks God to strengthen them for. Every good deed and word, the Spirit's work in you will become visible. It'll show up in your words. It'll show up in your actions and the way you treat your spouse or your friends. It'll show up in the way you raise your children. It'll show up in the way you respond when someone hurts you. It'll show up in the way you handle money and how you work and how you speak about people you disagree with and how you respond to suffering. It'll begin to shape you in all these different ways. And that's the Holy Spirit working in you, making you holy, sanctifying you. And God promises to strengthen you for that work. What are you seeking? What are you building your life around? What are you spending your time chasing? What is the thing that you think you have to have in order to be happy? What's your toy pony? Because the tragedy is that we spend our whole lives chasing things that are ultimately too small to satisfy us, and God has something infinitely greater. He's called you through the gospel. He's given you his Spirit. He is sanctifying you that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't trade that for a lie. Don't trade it for the approval of people. Don't trade it for money. Don't trade it for pleasure. Don't trade it for comfort. Don't trade it for power. Don't trade it for whatever the world happens to be selling this week. Stand firm. Hold fast. Hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the gospel. Hold fast to Christ. The God who called you is the God who strengthens you. The God who began this work in is the God who will sustain you. So may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and every good word. Amen.